Hello and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives and listen to the various directors, producers, and writers I have interviewed over this last year and a half. Well, today I'm interviewing director John Wager, director of the documentary Comedy Warriors, Healing Through Humor. And I believe I have him on the line. Let me see here. John, are you there? Hello? I thought we had John. Let's see. Okay. John, are you there? I've lost him somehow. Well, hopefully he will call me back. I'm just going to have to hang up that line and have him call me back. But John is supposed to be giving us a call here to the show so that we could talk to him about his wonderful documentary. Basically, the plot is that wounded warriors team up with stand-up comedians. And they work on putting together a comedy act to do at the Laugh Factory. So it's really an interesting concept and a very heartwarming film to watch. And hopefully he'll give me a call back because something happened with his line there. I'm not sure what. But I just finished up watching a lot of films at the Palm Beach International Film Festival. And that was one that premiered at the festival. If you didn't have a chance to go this year, I would suggest going next year. And all of the information about the film festival can be found at www.pbifilmfest.org. You could check it out and see kind of what the schedule was and what the films were. They had a lot of a lot of documentaries this year. For some reason, they had quite a few. So it seems to be the hot topic, I guess, this year is documentaries. I'm not sure why, but they had films from all over the world, as they usually do. A lot of films actually premiere at the Palm Beach International Film Festival, and then they go elsewhere from there. They try to take people that are a world premiere. So this is the same case for the Comedy Warriors. It was the first time they had been shown. So I'm just sending a little note here to John again. Hopefully he will call us back and get back on the show. Okay. Yeah, it was very interesting. I think I'm going to have him back on the line hopefully again. Let me check here. Okay, John, are you there?
Yes.
Hello? Okay, there I have you. I'm not sure what happened there with your line, but I'm glad you got back on. I was just telling them a little bit about the plot of the film, and I know that you came up with this idea with your work through Wounded Warriors. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about how you got inspired to do the project. Are you there? Hello? Oh, boy. Hello?
I'm here.
Hello. Oh, there you are.
Yes, there you are. Okay. Yeah, I think it was on your end. I could hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, there you go. Hey, Rachel, how you doing?
Hi, good.
Good. I'm glad to be here. I heard your question. I have been working with Wounded Warrior Project, doing film, film work and some documentary work for them. And after one of my 4-day shoots with them, I came back very inspired. Working with these guys who've been through, crazy, crazy tough times, and I was having lunch with my producing partner. Not at that time. We were just friends. Ray Rio, old friends, and he came from the comedy world. He used to manage comedians for years out in Los Angeles, professional talent manager. And so over this lunch, I was sharing some of the stories of what I was doing, and he was saying he had been thinking about doing something with comedy with that, and we just came up with this idea about 2.5 years ago, and from there it kind of took off.
Now, the people that were in the film, were they a part of Wounded Warriors, or did they kind of come from that organization another way?
Well, the Wounded Warrior Project has a lot of programs, and there's, you know, thousands of alumni from that, mostly amputees and burn victims and all kinds of injuries that they help people with. And so when the Warrior Project was supporting us and our idea, they really thought it was a good idea, and they put out an email blast to their alumni, and we got submissions to have people do, send us, you know, little home videos of them telling a story or a joke or whatever, something that was using humor for healing. And, well, you know, Comedy Wars, Humor for Healing is about a lot of things, but one of the things is, you know, just the idea of once you can laugh at something, it's a first step of moving on.
Mm-hmm. And so were all these people kind of volunteered to be a part of this then?
Correct. Well, we got about 50 submissions, and we chose five. This is just the most we could handle. And out of the 50, we had some great submissions, and it was hard to whittle it down, but we got it down to five. And then we basically, the whole journey was based around these five. Do you want me to explain what the movie's, you know, just a little bit of what the movie's about or what we're doing or no?
Well, I did talk about that a little bit, but if you want to add
okay.
to that, that's fine.
Sure, I haven't heard. I didn't hear that.
Okay.
Some technical difficulties. Yeah, basically, we take five severely wounded vets, and we who all use humor for healing, and we take them on a journey. They are coached by professional writers and celebrity A-list comedians to eventually do a stand-up comedy routine, and at the end, they go on. Up on stage in two of the biggest comedy clubs in Los Angeles. And basically, it's the whole journey, and you get to know each one of them along the way.
Mm-hmm. And what was your designation to try to figure out who was going to be on the show? What were your kind of your requirements?
Well, it's not a show. It's a film. But
I'm sorry, the film.
yeah.
I'm thinking of the comedy show.
Yeah, okay, there you go. That could come later, but... you mean how do we pick the five out of the submissions that we had?
Yeah, that's a lot of people. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were just looking for, you know, some people were pretty refined, and some were just really raw, just, you know, had never done it. Most of them had never done anything.
Mm-hmm.
Almost all of them, but one had never gone in front of the general public and to tell a joke at a, you know, in a professional forum. So we're just looking for someone who could, you know, tell a story, a funny story, had a way about them. You know, we had one of our submissions, I mean, we didn't have a lot of female submissions, so one of them was, she didn't really tell a joke, she just did a funny dance and did this kind of goofy little submission video, which made us laugh, and so we just said, well, there's potential here, so let's go with it. And then we also based it on some part on who we thought would get the most out of it, you know.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't solely based on potential. It was based on who could get the most help from the experience as well.
Did you always feel that it was going to be taking them on this trip with the stand-up comedians, or at one point did you think about doing just a straight documentary, more of a drama from the interviews that you've done with people?
No, this was always, from the beginning, was going to be we always wanted to get A-list comedians and professional writers involved, and this was never, there are a lot of great movies made, especially now, on post-traumatic stress disorder, which, you know, I can get into later with the many issues that are going on with that, and they're dealing with war and post-war vets, and they're all great movies, and they're all pretty dark. They're all pretty serious.
Mm-hmm.
And we, from the beginning, our vision of this movie was to be something that was lighter, something that was that the general public could also latch on, because a lot of this movie is to raise social awareness. It's not so much using humor for themselves that these comedy warriors use it, but they use it to help the person who's, especially a burn victim, they use humor to help the person in front of them feel more comfortable. It
mm-hmm.
helps break the ice. They realize, oh, I can laugh. I can. That person is still inside there. They're just like any other person. They just are injured. And so right from the beginning, we wanted this to be mostly, 75% about the lighter side, about using humor. And the 25%, of course, you've seen the movie, Rachel, is, some of it is you get to know each one of the guys, and you get, it's a lot of heart in this movie, and some tearful moments, but for the most part, it focuses on humor.
Yeah, it is done in a lighter way, but the stories still are heart-wrenching when you really think about the content of what happened to them. Was there a story that really hit you and made you say, you know what, I have to do this film?
A story of, well, they're all...
One particular story. They're all great stories, but, I mean, situation?
Well, I think the question more is not picking out one, but just I can cite an example, but of, you take someone like Bobby Henline, who's blown up in a Humvee with four other guys, and it was an IED in Iraq, and everyone died except for him in the Humvee.
Yeah.
He was the oldest, which made him feel the worst. And so his thing is, he was burned for something 35% of his body. He had 45 skin graft surgeries, lost his part of his right arm. His left arm. I think his left arm. I mean, he's got every reason to sit on the couch and do nothing and feel sorry for himself. He's got every reason. No one would argue with him. And he has taken the opposite side. He said his part of his mission is he can't, he has to live life to the fullest, not just for himself, but for the four guys that didn't make it, and
right.
their family. So he is on a mission that's to not get stuck in the dark side of things that happened to him, but to really, move on and live his life through the fullest. And he's doing that. He's doing public speaking. He performs at stand up. He's doing great.
Mm-hmm. When you were planning for this film, did you do an outline, kind of a beginning, middle, and end, or did you just treat it more organically and then outline it within the editing process, or was it a combination of both?
That's a great question. We had a outline in the beginning, but we also, to be honest with you, this was an experiment. We had no idea how this was going to go. We were like, well, in theory, this should, we're thinking this and this, but we don't know, and you won't know until you go see the film, obviously, if it really works at the end. I mean, the film is set up so you're watching it, and at the end they go up to the general public. And we had to get the writers involved to help them, and we knew we wanted A-list comedian coaches, and that was great. But a lot of it was organic because, when Zach Galifianakis walks in the room, you don't know what he's going to say, and he's we had a forum. We knew we wanted them each to watch the rehearsals. I don't know if you saw the movie, but they watch the rehearsals and give them really specific coaching, and they did that. At the same time, they were funny. They were really funny. So you get Zach and Louis Black and Bob Saget and BJ Novak. They're just great. They're funny and they're smart, and they were very down to earth and ready to help at any moment. So that was a something you couldn't really script that or plan that. It just happened. You almost had to leave enough room in the form in the structure for them to do their thing, and they did, which is great.
How did you get them involved? Did you know them already personally, or did Ray know them, or how did they get all the comic comedians?
Well, Ray had worked for years and years in the talent management, as I said earlier, in Los Angeles, doing almost all comedians. And so if he didn't know the comedian, he usually knew their manager. And it was hard because these guys are, if you get the status or the celebrity status of Zach Galifianakis and Louis Black, and they're very booked up for months and months in advance. I mean, from the time that Zach said, yes, I'd love to get involved in this project, what can I do to help, the time we actually got him was we had waited like 7 months because he's so busy and so booked. So and then other people just weren't available. They were interested in doing it, but they just couldn't, you know, they just were booked so far in advance that we couldn't, you know, we couldn't, our dates couldn't cross. So, you know, it was, so Ray, you know, a lot of it was, you know, Ray being in the business and then a lot of perseverance at the same time. Yeah.
Were there a lot of memorable moments that actually ended up getting cut from the film?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was 6 months editing the film, so it was a lot. And then there was also directions on how the film, you know, whether it should be just all jokes and, you know, and the humor, but, should, you know, or should we get to know each one of the comedy warriors? And so, yeah, there's, you know, we wanted to keep it contained to the 73 minutes of the film, so... You know, we yeah. There's a lot of jokes and story that just didn't make it because just you know, mm-hmm. fit so much in it. And we wanted to make sure that everyone got to know each one of the comedy warriors, you know, personally what they went through, as well as the journey through this, you know, becoming a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, and how did meeting the warriors affect the comedians? It seems if you get a hint of it that it really affected them, but. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, I think when you're in a room with, I mean, for me, you know, just before this experience, making this movie, when you're in a room with someone that's been through such a traumatic experience, it affects you. And then it especially affects you because you see them carrying on and being brave and living and dealing with such a, you know, a severe injury and traumatic experience. And so, you know, I just want to, just one story is, you know, it's usually when you book a celebrity, you have, you know, the manager sets it up to say, okay, you have whatever, an hour and a half here to, this is their schedule. And this is just one of the many cool, you know, stories. And, when Lewis Black walked into, and we did him in Williamstown, and he walked in, he met the guys, talked to him for a little bit, and he pulled me over to the side and said, I know my manager said an hour and a half, but you have me for as long as you need me. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And he stayed for the rest of the afternoon. He was just
That's
there.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, he was just, you the effect is, you know, it's something you can't really put into words. You have to be there. And then when you're there, you just, the energy and you get inspired by what they're going through, and I think that you know helps you move to the next level. I mean, we, you know, Bernadette Luckett, our co-producer, was originally brought on as a writing coach because she's a professional comedy writer, and she started off as a stand-up, and she got so inspired that she was like, hey, whatever I can do to help, I want to be involved in this project. And she eventually came on as a co-producer because she just devoted, she was going to inspire her to go to VA hospital and do, you know, and volunteer and do all kinds of other things. So I think everyone involved somehow got touched by working with these guys. And so I think they're all, you know, just somehow brought something away from them. I mean, Bob Saget, mm-hmm. did a tweet to, he's got 2 million followers. He tweeted after we won the best documentary at Palm Beach. So, you know, and he's always doing things to help us out. I mean, it's a great energy. Once you get the person in the room, it's just sometimes hard to get the person in the room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Doing everything. So, but,
did Bernadette and the comedian sit down with them and kind of help them plan out their set a little bit more than was shown in the film?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's a good question, actually. So basically we matched each one of the comedy warriors, we matched up with a professional writer. Now, the writer wasn't so much writing material from scratch as they were, each one of the comedy warriors came up with their own material. And then the writer would help craft it into a joke, you know, mm-hmm. add, you know, maybe tweak it here and there, add things here and there, but the impetus of the humor always came from them. So you know, like you know, one of them may be good with anger, the other one is good with, you know, maybe talking about his, joking about his personal appearance. Another one doesn't even use, you know, we have some that don't even use anything to do with their injury, and they use humor in that way. So whatever it was, you know, I would say for the most part, about 75% of it was cathartic for each one of them, meaning they would take something that was probably had some truth to it, and they would turn it around and make it funny. So it was, I think one of the writers, Bob Nickman, says in the movie, he says, you know, well-adjusted, happy people don't usually go to stand-up comedy, because what they use a comedy to help work out stuff. They're on stage when they're talking about, you know, they talk about these goofy, funny experiences or awkward experiences, whatever it is. It's their way of working it out, and mm-hmm. I think he said it perfect. Well-adjusted people, happy people don't usually go in the stand-up. So I thought that was interesting.
What other places did they perform before they went to, the final night?
They did some hometown club, like, you know, open mic stuff, as just to get some rehearsals in before they actually did the big night. And that was, you know, they all went back to their hometowns, which is located all over the country. And they just went to their local comedy club, open mic, and they just worked on their act. And then they did their big night in Los Angeles. So at the Laugh Factory and the Improv mm-hmm. in Hollywood. So it was, it was a great journey. And right now, our biggest thing is, you know, if people are as you were there at the, I don't know if you made it, you know, you didn't make the one of the screenings, but people were just like, what can I do? How's this movie going to get out there? And right now, we're just at the point where we're trying to, you know, raise money to do outreach events oriented. Things like film festivals, so we can get distribution. And so for now, for you know, a lot of it is, you know, marketing and just getting things out. So people, I just say, go to comedywarriors.com and click how can I help. And you know, a lot of people are giving money. We have it set up so people can actually get tax deductible donations, you know, for our website, and which is going great. We've had some really generous people, and so it's you know, the Palm Beach International was our first time
right.
out, so we were kind of getting our feet wet, and we didn't really know what to expect. We weren't sure if people were going to laugh. We weren't
yeah.
sure if people were going to enjoy it, and it was like, wow, we got an response that we got. We were all like, you know, they're asking so many questions that we didn't have the answers to, because it just came out. So it was
uh-huh.
daunting. It was really like, you know, my producer rep in entertainment lawyer, Stephen Beer, couldn't make it, but you know, it was we are currently in the process of looking for distribution, but in the meantime,
mm-hmm.
you know, people are saying, what can I do to help? We just tell them that please, you know, if they can give anything to donate on our website. So
give us the website again.
ComedyWarriors.com.
Okay, that's pretty easy. Now, are there film festivals lined up for this? Are there other film festivals already lined up or not yet?
Right now, we're just looking at some other film festivals. We're applying to some. We should be hopefully hearing. And then we're also at the same time reaching out to other possible ways to get the film out there. So it's all happening pretty quickly. You know, they say that 50% of making a film is actually getting to the point where it's finished, and the other 50% is getting it out there. And,
right.
So I think as a filmmaker, you're kind of exhausted at the end of the creative process of having this, you know, wonderful film, and then you realize that you've only gone halfway. So,
right.
So it's a journey, but we're really excited. And as I don't know if you saw, we had a great article in the Huffington Post. And
oh,
then,
great!
We got some great review in, and you know, we won two awards at the
mm-hmm.
the Golden Palm and the best. We won best documentary as well. I don't know if you
right.
ever heard that. We won the best
that
documentary. Yeah, grand jury
I
award.
Gave a nice,
Oh, good, good. I couldn't make it. I had to come back. So,
yeah.
But it was a great experience. And Palm Beach is, as you know, it's just such a wonderful community, and they were so warm and welcoming of the Comedy Warriors, and mm-hmm. Never for a minute did we feel like, how are they going to be received? They were just so welcoming. And afterwards, the Q&A, after each screening, no one left, Rachel. Everyone stayed. And almost they were kicked out of the room. And it was just people just didn't want to leave. They wanted to talk to us. They wanted to know more about the project. And I think generally people weren't expecting to laugh so much. That's
mm-hmm.
That was the best part of the whole, for me, sitting, in the back, just listening to people, that's what I wanted. We were hoping that people were finding it funny, and they did. It was a lot of, obviously some tearful moments as well, but I would say most of the time people, especially in the audience, they were, when you're by yourself, might have been a little different, but generally people were laughing, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I was laughing when I watched it.
No, it's great. It's good to hear that, and I think there's it's got a very wide age, it's not just going after a certain age. I think it people in their 20s up to people in their 60s and 70s, we had just wonderful responses from all kinds of people that were at the screening, and the ages were all over. So
mm-hmm.
So we were very inspired, and we look forward to our next festival. I like to tell you what our next festival is going to be, but I don't want to say until I know if we're going to. So, but like I said, we couldn't ask for a better premiere than and mm-hmm. most of all, I just want to say thanks to Randy Emmerman and her team at the Palm Beach International. They just were wonderful in every way. They just, anything we needed, and they were helpful, and it was like a family there. They were just, I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just, overjoyed, and, looking forward to, now that was our coming out. Now we're looking forward to our next step. Hopefully it'll be, we'd like to get a small a theatrical release, and then eventually end on television, somewhere.
Great. This is
such
a life-affirming story. Did you learn some lessons that you applied to your own life after doing this project?
Absolutely. I don't think you can do a project like this for so long without, walking away with a sense of, one of the things that affects, I think, people when they work with someone who's gone through so much, and you're sitting, especially right in the beginning when I started working with severely wounded vets, you realize you have nothing to complain about. I mean, you're complaining about stubbing your toe and your internet not being fast enough and all this stuff, and you're going and you walk away going, what am I complaining about? This is ridiculous. These people have gone through hell and back, and they're carrying on and not complaining. And mm-hmm. and so you really learn how to appreciate what you have in your life. And the other thing is just raising social awareness. Just the idea that, if you see someone who doesn't look like you or look whatever they call normal, is that doesn't mean that they're, inside they're the same. They're just like everyone else, and they know they don't want to be stared at, they don't want to be not spoken to because you feel uncomfortable. So there's kind of a tough social kind of raising of consciousness that I think is happening, hopefully is happening, and I hope that's what one of our main reasons of this movie is to help with that. So that's one of our goals, at least
mm-hmm.
one of our many goals.
In addition to being a director and producer, you also are a composer. Did you work, and I'm trying to remember, the music was not a feature in this film. I know there was some music in there, but it's almost like it wasn't overpowering. It was more about the stories. But tell me a little bit about you composing, because you've been doing that for years.
Yeah, I started out in the music business as a songwriter, composer, and producer, and eventually producing. And then I eventually got into filmmaking and own a video production and film company. So we do other things too. But I actually did not do the composition for this film. It was just too many things on my plate, and I had a big influence in it. I hired a friend of mine, Jimmy Papoulos, who did a great job, and we hired some great musicians. David Santos, who's a wonderful bass and guitar player, played on all the tracks, and we wanted the music of this to be very live feel, and felt almost like a Saturday Night Live band was there. Just kind of playing in the background, and mm-hmm. it's got this kind of edgy but up feel to the music. But at the same point, Rachel, I didn't want people to listen to the music I wanted the music to be organic to the film and not like pull you out of your experience,
mm-hmm.
which is I think it accomplishes it. I mean, everyone pretty much it just enhances the film but doesn't make you start thinking about the music, I couldn't wear too many hats.
But I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Your Galileo Media Arts. Tell me about that a little bit more. What you do?
Sure. Galileo. We're a full service production company. We do everything from obviously documentaries to we're in the works of doing some feature narrative now. But we also do high end, beautiful commercials that are on broadcast, as well as doing, generally higher end video production. And we have, I have a crew and great staff. And, we're not a huge company. We're a medium sized company that does some pretty creative, but yet affordable high end productions. So, and we do it all over the country. So people, which is great. And, we have clients in Florida and all over. And
you have a website?
Yep. It's galileomediaarts.com. And please go on our website, check it out. We specialize in doing the whole thing. Like someone needs something from they need a writer, they need it written, they need it produced and edited, everything, the whole nine yards. We have a crew, a team of writers, copywriters, obviously director and producer, mm-hmm. and editors, the whole, and we own all our own gear, so it makes it easier for people when they hire us. We don't have to go out of house. We own a lot of our own equipment, and so it's good. It helps.
Great. Okay. Is there a personal website that you want to give out as well before we end? Anything else that you want to add?
Well, basically, as far as Comedy Warriors goes, if you go to comedywarriors.com and click how to help, that's the one that gets you to the page that we, right now what we really need is people. We need to raise funds to keep going and keep getting out there, maybe do things in other parts of the country and bring these Comedy Warriors with us as well. So, and then, of course, the other one is Galileo Media Arts, and that's .com, and that's my company website. But right, the focus of this right now, this interview, is really is on the Comedy Warriors,
mm-hmm.
And getting their story out there, and that's what I, that's what I'm, I've devoted over 2.5 years of my life.
Yeah.
With my old friend and partner Ray Rio, who's, none of this could be possible without him, part of the team, and then Bernadette as well, So Bernadette Luckett and Ray Rio and I are the kind of the team, and there's no way one person could ever do a project like this. And without the three of us together, it's
the three amigos.
What was that?
The three amigos.
Yeah, exactly. There's just no way this would have ever happened, and it's been a great ride, and that's the one thing I keep pointing back to is if people watch this movie, and we hope they do, or get, when it gets out there, it's a fun ride. It's not, some people might go, oh, this sounds so dark and crazy. I mean, you saw the
movie.
It's
not at all. Yeah, it's not at all. It's a great movie.
Yeah, thank
you.
Good. And thanks. I mean, that's what we're hoping, that because it's not done in a dark way and it's done in a very light and uses humor for healing way, that people will get out there and say, I'll give this a try. I've never watched this kind of movie before. Maybe I will try this because you got Zach Galifianakis and Lewis Black and Saget and BJ Novak in it. These are some of my favorite comedians. Maybe I'll, give it a try. That's our goal, and get it out there as to many people as possible. And eventually, if there's any revenue from this, we're going to give a percentage of the profits back to the Wounded Warrior Project to kind of keep it going. It's a great project, one of those lifelong things of saying, I'm glad I did this. This is a good thing.
Excellent. Well, thanks for being on the show today, and keep in touch and let me know how it goes.
Absolutely, Rachel. And please keep me in the loop. And if you can just send me an email about what's your best contact number to reach you.
I
think I might have it, but you just send it to me.
Yeah,
thanks again for all your help with everything. And like I said, it wasn't for people like you getting the word out, this project would not be possible.
You're welcome. All right, break a leg, and I will talk to you soon.
That sounds great. Thanks, Rachel. All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was a great interview with John Wager, and you can go back and listen to those websites that he mentioned. Definitely check out this film. I hope that he really has great success with this, because it is such a life-affirming film. When you first see the content, you might think, oh, I don't know if I want to see that. But I really recommend it. I watched it myself, and I was laughing. It is really funny. It's really interesting to meet these men and women, this one woman also, that have gone through such a terrible ordeal in their life, and they can really turn it around through humor. And it's a beautiful film. I really suggest it, so definitely check it out. Well, guys, as I said, that was part of the Palm Beach International Film Festival, and the festival just wrapped on the 11th. We had a screening of Shay Upshaw, and the director Bruce Mason and star Ileana Douglas were out on the red carpet. It was held at the Frank Theater in Delray. And they had the awards event as well, which he mentioned that they won Best Documentary. If you'd like to see who won all the awards, I have them up on my website, which is www.independentstreak.ning.com. independentstreak.ning.com. I have all the awards listed there. I also have a couple film reviews, and I am going to be putting up a review about this film, Comedy Warriors, as well. So keep an eye out for that. I'm always changing the content, and during the festival season, I really go gangbusters and put up a ton of stuff. So there's pictures, all kinds of event coverage on there right now that you can check out. And like I said, keep checking back all year long, because as films come out, I do review them. I do go to film events, and I also promote film events. So if you're a filmmaker and you'd like something promoted on my site, just let me know. Also, let me know if you'd like to be on this show. Either way, you can email me at ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's ravenprods @yahoo.com. If you are a filmmaker who'd like to be on the show, send me some information about it, and then I'll give you more instruction about what I might need to put the show together. And I'm booked up right now through April. Next week, I'm interviewing Let's see. Next week I have Nikki, the director from High as the Sky, which also was at the Palm Beach International Film Festival, another movie I really liked. And following that, I have I'm interviewing the director of Dinner en Blanc. So two other films from the Palm Beach International Film Festival throughout, so I'm booked through April, and then I'm starting already for May. So if you're a director who'd like to get on the show, contact me as soon as possible, because I'm already booking up into the summer already, which is very exciting for me. A lot of people want to be on the show, so it's great. But guys, I'll be back next Sunday, and tune in, and I will talk to you then. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I will talk to you next week. Okay, bye-bye.